Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, so of all the things that seem crazy today, J.J. Watt rumored to be getting an offer of $16 million for next year, right? Russell Wilson could be traded. Deshaun Watson draws a line in the sand and says, that's it, I'm out. Or the Knicks scoring 140 points. What is the most unlikely headline of the day, Mike Harmon, if you had to pick between all of them?
Well, you know, you want to just talk about the Knicks, so let's just get it over.
I'm just saying, look, the Knicks' previous high in a game this year was 67. So to score 140 is a really big deal for them.
Yeah, no, it's a monumental task, a giant effort as we get towards the end of the first half of the season. So they're just good enough that they won't be sellers. So that's got to excite you. To think
I'll
that
tell you, man.
Maybe they look at maybe acquiring another body to make a run and at least solidify a playoff berth, that'd be beautiful.
You know, it would be. I look at the trade situation with the NBA like this. We'll get into Deshaun Watson in a second. Is that there are really – look, there's always three kinds of teams, right? There's the teams that are looking – that are at the top of the conference that want to make trades. There's the teams in the middle that are unsure what to do, and they're the teams at the bottom that are the sellers, right? That's kind of what you have. In this year in the NBA, everybody is mediocre. Okay, just case in point for the Knicks tonight, right? They win tonight. They were in 10th place tonight, coming into tonight. They win, and they're in 6th now. I mean, that's how close together everybody is at 15 and 15, 16 and 17. It's like that in the Western Conference, too. So you are going to see, I believe, looking at this, you're going to see the top teams in each conference. Right? You're going to see the Jets, the Clippers, and the Lakers all look to make that big move to separate them because clearly they're the championship teams. You'll see the Sixers try to make that move too. The Nets and the Bucks in the East, right? The Bucks still think, hey, our window is open. So those six teams are definitively going to be buying. All those teams in the middle that are 4 through 12 in each conference, they're just going to sit back and do nothing. Because why are we trading something to get something when we could make the playoffs, we could not make the playoffs, we could finish 4th, we could finish 10th. So it's really going to be those six teams buying, and it's going to be the bottom feeders. It's going to be those are the ones that are going to sell. I when we look at this trade deadline, I look at what's going to be not quite underwhelming, but you'll see a couple of big names move to the top of the East and the top of the West. But the rest, it's hard, man. If you're the Knicks, you're not going to trade Julius Randle, right? You say, okay, we might be able to keep him. Are you going to go crazy trading for somebody if you got to trade for a lot? Probably not. We'll look in the buyout market and see if there's somebody there that we want. But are we going to give up assets? Are we going to give up young players? Are we going to trade Kevin Knox? And I think you're going to see a lot of teams feeling the same way because, hey, we're 500. We could be in the playoffs. We could not. This is one of those years where it's probably right to not do anything. So that's kind of how I look at how the trade deadline is going to come in the NBA.
Oh, see, I think for the Eastern Conference, there's potential for chaos because you have, as we look at the separation, the Nets, I think we would agree, if all things click, are the best team in the conference, right? Philadelphia is there, and they've been fantastic. And we keep waiting on Milwaukee to become – well, the Milwaukee it's been, because otherwise the clock starts on the where does Giannis go eventually if he doesn't want to stay in Milwaukee for a lifetime. I mean, you know, just because you have to put that up because it's good theater. I mean, Indiana is sitting at 15 and 15. They're fourth, right? So it's Philly, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee sitting at 19 and 13, currently battling with the Pelicans. Zion Williamson had 24 at the half. For the Pelicans, watching that guy play is a lot of fun. It's too bad that as a team they can't find a win to save their souls most night, sitting at 14 and 17 coming into this game. But for the Eastern Conference, if you think that there's an implosion potential there for Kyrie Irving, James Harden and company, Why wouldn't you go take a run at them if you're in that 4-8 range? You know, not to, to sell the farm, right, and give up 4 or 5 years of future, but between the buyout market and just see who can shake free in trade negotiations, everybody's got a few contracts they're not really loving the life of. So I don't know. I think I'd be more a buyer the eastern side. On the west, no, I'm not there. As soon as Anthony Davis comes back, between the Lakers, Jazz, and Clippers, I think I'm good. I don't think I need to fight on that side of the bracket.
And just speaking of how big a win this was for the Knicks tonight, right, with 140 points, right, Emmanuel quickly plays 20 minutes. He scores 25. I mean, this guy is fantastic. He should be the all. Forget Julius Randle. That's five minutes ago, man. Quickly,
Julius Randle's been fantastic. They were chanting MVP for bleeping.
I know. That was nice, wasn't it? Chanting MVP. Julius,
I thought it was a great video because he was looking around like, really?
Yeah. The Knicks scoring 140 points tonight, because of this output, they are no longer the worst offensive team in the NBA. They are now the second worst offensive team in the NBA.
Yay.
The Wizards, I'm sorry, the Cavaliers are the worst, and the Knicks are 1/10 of a point from overtaking the Orlando Magic as to maybe only being the third worst offensive team in the NBA. Tom Thibodeau, we're doing nothing but breaking rules and hitting new heights, man. I'll tell you what, from the bottom, we're going up. Look, this is awesome. This is an awesome, awesome season, man. I'll tell you what.
What do you think he feels like when they score 140 points? Because it breaks from the formula. I mean, it breaks from everything that Tom Thibodeau has built as a reputation. So is this embracing change or the fact that he really doesn't have any control?
Well, I think he's happy that when the Knicks get to 50 is when they give tacos to their fans. Like that's where the bar is set. Yeah, when you get to 50 points, that's when tacos go out. So as long as they get to 50 every game, I think everybody's going to wind up being happy. It's 50 is the new 100 for the Knicks. It's what it is. So
I like that. 50 is the new 100.
50
keep
is the new 100.
That for yourself
tacos.
Too, buddy.
Tacos for
tacos
everybody.
Tacos and celebratory measures.
Even you, Adam Gase. Even you. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. You could save a bundle on your auto insurance. All right. So if anybody still thinks, and there's a lot of people out there, which I don't get, that the Texans are not going to wind up trading Deshaun Watson. Well, all you need is what I'm going to tell you in the next couple of minutes, right? Deshaun Watson met with new head coach David Culley. All right, they met on Friday, and according to sources, he told David Culley he has no intention of suiting up for the team again. He is done. All right, he's had very little to no contact with the team since the season ended. This is the first conversation between Deshaun Watson and David Culley, even though the two get along well. You know, they got along well at the Senior Bowl, you know, recently. And so, you know, hey, he's a guy that, hey, we kind of like. But Deshaun Watson has said, nothing has changed. My mind has not changed. I want out. Now, he has not had the press conference, I'm done, like Russell Wilson has had, like James Harden has had. But still, he has now, this is the fourth time he has basically said, I am done. He has put the message out on social media, I don't like how I'm treated. He has told the team he wants a trade. He reiterated to them that he wants a trade. Now he has told David Culley, I'm not suiting up for the team again. Now it's not public because he still wants to be a good guy coming out of this. And really the lesson we've learned is that you kind of have to go nuclear if you really, really want to push your way out. So this is why, you know, Deshaun Watson is still at the point where, well, maybe the Texans are saying we have no intention of trading him. Okay, just stop for a second. All right. You can tell me all you want. We're not trading him. This is all you need to know about why Deshaun Watson's going to be traded. After what he has said, after all of this that's gone on, do you really think he's going to say, no, I'm coming back to the team? After all of this that's happened, after four times telling the team, I don't trust you, I want out. Nobody trusts Jack Easterby, nobody trusts Caserio. David Culley's the guy they got hired. It's what are we doing? After all of this that's happened, can he really sit back and say, okay, yeah, didn't work. Power play didn't work. I'll show up. I'll be there. There's no way that's happening. An athlete doesn't go down this road unless this is where he's going to end up. right? It's too much has gone by to say, I'm going back. Look, Aaron Rodgers hasn't done anything that's precluded him from returning to the Packers if he really wants to, right? That's where, you know, okay, this is why that situation is still a big, beautiful mystery. Russell Wilson has gone down the road to say, I want out. And so is Deshaun Watson. I want out. There's no way he can go back after the message he has said to them. Right? Some athlete, whether it's pride, whether it's anything else, but you can't give them this message and then go back because you have lost bargaining power forever. Right? If you say all of this and then you say at the end, all right, I'll show up, the team is never going to listen to you again. They're never going to listen to anything you have to say. They won't take anything into effect and into context, what you want to tell them about advice, where you think they should go with the offense, where you think they should hire coaches. They will do none of this. They will say, well, he barked and barked and barked, and he still showed up to play. So there's no way he's going to suit up for the team again. And eventually, and this is what we've been saying, the Texans can say we're not going to trade him, but when he says, I'm going to sit out until you trade me and you're never going to see me again, eventually the Texans are going to trade him. And the sooner they realize that, they'll get a better draft haul for him, they'll get a better trade for him, and they'll be able to move on and revamp their team for their new owner, their new GM, their new coach, new everything as they start over in Houston. But that's how it's going to end. Deshaun Watson's not going to come back into the Houston Texans.
Yeah, as we sit here, I mean, you got eight guys in the National Football League that have no trade clauses, and we're talking about two of them tonight between Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. Recently brokered, obviously, his when he signed his deal in September, and a stroke of a masterstroke, as it were. This is something LeVar Arrington brought up on our Sunday show here on Fox Sports Radio, just saying, well, what if he played the room, saying, well, I get all I want, and I get my giant signing bonus, and then if I don't like it, I can still flex. Right. And with all the stories that have come out about Easterby, we joked about being banned from restaurants. Right. The people putting signs on the table saying reserved for anyone but Jack Easterby. The fact that he's done a lot of good things in Houston, Deshaun Watson is not going to risk blowing up the relationship with the fan base. Right. They're on his side. Russell Wilson might be a little bit different, even with a Super Bowl title in the past. Just it's all about, you know, how you go about it and getting your messaging out. It seems like many are upset, and well, rightfully so, right? The battle between he and Pete Carroll are on, and fans they want their quarterbacks to stay, and they want all those ill things to be resolved without coming to light. But clearly, that hasn't worked between the appearance on the Dan Patrick Show and some of the other comments when asked about Schottenheimer getting fired, etc. You've had that battle starting to brew with the Texans. While we haven't had the full-on, let me get in front of the microphones and do the full Kleeg-Light thing of, all right, here's my list of grievances. We've gotten enough of them. We piece them all together. And you're really, for the Texans, at some point you just have to acquiesce and get the best deal you can. Because once the merry-go-round starts and all of these quarterback positions start to get filled, not to say they wouldn't still displace somebody else as quickly as they could. You wouldn't have the assets necessarily, though, to then go get Deshaun Watson. So they need to act before some of these are filled, and then you have to take the desperation mode. Oh, and by the way, he gets to reject some of those would-be mm-hmm. suitors for the trades. That's where you've pigeonholed yourself. It's one thing to have traded away, like trader Bill O'Brien did, all sorts of assets to hamstring yourself going forward, right? Making a push, thinking you'd get over the top, and then you didn't. Part of it because, well, J.J. Watt couldn't stay healthy in the second half of years when you were winning the division. Sorry, I have to call it what it is. But now you're in the spot that you not only do you have to trade Deshaun Watson, he gets to decide where he goes. Like, you've really ham-handed this one in so many ways, and you got played. You got, and now's the time to recognize, all right, well, how do we make the best of a bad situation and move forward?
You got God. You got God. You got God. Oh,
exactly.
Look, they get
straight
they get
out of
slimed.
Entourage.
You got God. You got God. You got God. Eventually, the Texans are going to realize it, but when you got rookies running it at every level, it's going to take them a little bit of time. But Deshaun, there's no way he can go back. It's like Jack Reacher, never go back. Deshaun Watson, never go back.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
A big article today in The Athletic detailing just how deep the fissures are and the cracks are between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. For a long time, Wilson has been upset with the way the team has pushed their offense. They haven't put it around him. They haven't marketed around him. At one point last year, after a losing streak, Russell Wilson had ideas and suggestions to change the offense to help things. The coaches listened to him, didn't implement any of them. He got so mad and he stormed out of a meeting. And even though they won the next couple of weeks, Russell Wilson didn't forget it, was texting his friends during the Super Bowl. We all saw Russell Wilson and Sierra talking with Roger Goodell in the Super Bowl. He's texting friends upset that he gets hit so much and Tom Brady is not. This is a deep, deep divide with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. And while, you know, we'll get to the teams coming up and all that, with the report today, Mike, I mean, this is why I told you. He's going to get traded. A month and a half ago. That's
why we said it 6 weeks ago. Yeah. When everybody dumped it and said that's not going to happen. It's like, no. As soon as he raised his hand, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he went public, decided to go on the Dan Patrick Show and say, I don't know if I'm on the block or not. But even before that, we told you that the cracks were there, the relationship was bad. Mm-hmm. When it happened, I didn't think it would be for 2021. I thought, okay, he's basically telling them, you listen to me this year or after this year, I'm going to want out. Like, I'm going to give you a year. But now, things apparently are so bad that Russell Wilson says he wants to stay, but here's the four teams that I would like to go to if you do wind up trading me. And those teams are Dallas, New Orleans, Chicago, and the Raiders. All right, now here's why a trade is going to happen. Do you get the sense at all that the Seahawks are heartbroken if they had to trade Russell Wilson?
No.
No.
Not at all. No. There's more. The Texans say, we don't want to trade Deshaun Watson. Now, eventually, they're going to realize they have no power in that. But the Texans say, we don't want to trade Deshaun Watson, right? Other teams, we don't want to trade our quarterback. The Packers don't want to trade Aaron Rodgers. We got a little bit of, we don't want to trade Russell Wilson. But three first-round picks is what it might take. Russell Wilson says, nah, I don't want to be traded, but these are the four teams I might go to. Nobody in Seattle would be heartbroken, and this tells you a lot about how they view him. Look, Wilson has never been looked at as the big leader and a guy like Brady that everybody would run and follow, a guy like Lamar Jackson that his teammates want to run and follow him everything he does. He is incredibly talented. He is a great quarterback. But the opinion of him, look, in the beginning, it wasn't that great, right? Richard Sherman, other players on the defense didn't like the fact that Russell Wilson was being treated differently than the other players. There were some questions about how genuine a person is he. He never really got the whole hug from the organization as much as he got from the fans. The whole let Russ cook mantra, which has been going the past season or two. Hey, we got to let Russell Wilson just do his thing. The Seahawks didn't want to build around their quarterback to the fact that now they want to run the football more. Pete Carroll wants to run the football. The offensive coordinator they bring in, Shane Waldron, his specialty is running the football with a sledgehammer-type offense. This doesn't play into what Russell Wilson does well. So you're not telling me anything that shows me the Seahawks really want to keep Russell Wilson. There's been nothing publicly. Russell's our guy. There's been no reaching out. There's been nothing. It's just been the messages that we've got. No, we don't want to trade him, but three first-round picks. I don't want to go, but these are the four teams I'd go to. And his entire run with Seattle, he's never had that hug that you thought he was untouchable. right? Now, clearly, are you going to trade a quarterback in his prime when he's 28, 29? Now that he's going to be 33, 34, it could be one of those situations like it was with the Patriots, where Brady and Belichick were there together for a long time. Their relationship soured because anytime you're with somebody for a long time and the tiniest slight gets amplified and Brady and Belichick didn't get along and now suddenly they had to go their separate ways. That's kind of what's happening right now in Seattle, is that this divorce looks inevitable and each side seems okay with going their separate ways. Keep calling, even if you're not on this list, Jets, keep calling Seattle because you can get Russell Wilson. Jets say, we'll give you back. It's like a draft day pick. Hey, you gave us those two first. I'm going to give them back to you. We're going to get David Putney because I bleep and feel like it. We're going to draft Ray Jennings. He's Cleveland royalty. We're going to do all. Keep calling, Jets. Keep calling. You can get Russell Wilson. You can get him now.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the way this shakes out. The four teams that are named, three of them have quarterbacks, and the Bears have the love affair that Matt Nagy had with Nick Foles, right? They hired an offensive coordinator that Russ didn't like. He didn't started talking about the run game, et cetera. Look, there's a bit of momentum. I'd be looking to say, screw trading Russ. How about you fire Pete Carroll? Be done.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's crazy.
I've seen that a little bit.
Yeah. It's crazy that Russell Wilson's a guy. No, he's got to go because Pete Carroll's not Bill Belichick, where, you know, I got all these Super Bowls, you know, so maybe it's me, maybe it's you. It's going to be out there, you know, but clearly this is how it's going. I mean, the balance of power is the Seahawks are believing in Pete Carroll and they're allowing him to call the shots and they're allowing him to say, hey, this is what I want to do with the offense. Everything is okay. There's been no checks. Whoa, we really can't piss off Russell Wilson. There's been none of that. We should throw the football more. Pete Carroll says, I want to run it. All right, well, we need a new offensive coordinator who can really help me throw the football. Mm-hmm. No, the OC is going to be a guy that we're going to run the football with. Everybody's on board. There is nobody standing up going, hey, wait a minute. Are we insane for thinking this about Russell Wilson or for pushing him out the door the way things are right now? Are we insane for not listening to him? There is no voice coming out of Seattle with that. Not one.
Well, but I mean, you break it all down. You're looking at a guy who's been in for a decade. Pete Carroll has unlimited power. I mean, you want to talk about Palpatine. Unlimited power! I mean, that's what Pete Carroll has right now. Who's checking him? Schneider? No, it's Pete Carroll's team to run. So when Russell Wilson speaks out, I mean, you could see it. I mean, I was reading the fan message boards. All right, another draft day reference.
Nice. But, I knew what you were doing there, buddy.
Seattle, so it's a beautiful thing. So it actually plays even better. There's a lot of folks that are looking at it going, all right, if this is where we're at, it's been a decade and you have one Super Bowl, should have two. You win and you're atop the division each year, but you can't get over the rest of the way and you're remaking the team. And now he's taking all of his gripes public. You know how that goes over in most cities with most fan bases. Like, No matter how much they love the guy and how well he's performed, that's not going to work, right? You create the divide, and in the end, the names and the surnames and the numbers change all the time as to who's playing, but the team remains. I mean, not to get all philosophical on, you know, the ebb and flow and the circle of life, but the reality is the player's only there for so long. You're supporting the team. So as soon as the guy starts coming out anti-team, and in some cases, it folks would just diminish it as, well, he's not being the leader that he's supposed to be in this regard of, hey, you're the quarterback and whatever the coaches want to implement, it's your job to just best implement, right? That would be how we would do the job description if we were putting up a resume and applying to a job post, that folks are a little bit less than enamored with this tact by Russell Wilson at this time. And when you're looking at Pete Carroll, unless something were to change, I mean, he's got unlimited power in that organization to do what he wants and helping and building that roster. So for Russell Wilson, yeah, it's probably going to end up being one of these spots. The only place that doesn't have a, quote, starter is Chicago. Right? Trubisky's hanging in the wind. You got Nick Foles there. Otherwise, Dallas keeps professing their love for Dak. New Orleans paid Taysom Hill a bunch of money. Now, it's not starter quarterback level, but they've at least committed some cash there. And then you've got Derek Carr, who nobody wants now. as
well. You could also see if you're looking at these, because we'll get in depth on the teams. But at, what the thing is that the Seahawks aren't going to be left holding the bag without a quarterback. So if it's Dallas, right, they would find out a creative way to get Dak Prescott to Seattle. If it's New Orleans, they will find out a way for something. If it's the Raiders, they'll find out a way to get Derek Carr to Seattle. Because remember, Pete Carroll wants to run the football, right? We don't need to go get a guy that's going to throw for 45 touchdowns. We want to run the – they may love Derek Carr. In fact, I'll tell you what. This is where if I really find out that Russell Wilson wants to go to Vegas, I make that deal in a second, because I teach Russell Wilson a lesson going, sure, you go to Vegas. They have never gotten it right in years. They always seem to find a way to fall and trip over their own pants. So you want to go there, go ahead, knock yourself out. You'll go to the Raiders. We'll get Derek Carr. We'll move on from here, and then who knows what they wind up doing in the draft. But the Raiders is absolutely where I send him. I'm not going to send him to Dallas, where he could win and Jerry Jones is walking, you know, him and Jerry Jones are holding each other on their shoulders walking around after they win. I'm not going to send him to Sean Payton, where he's going to throw the football every bleep in play and make me look bad. I'm not going to send him to Chicago, where he's in a huge media market, although that would be the second place I would send him. But look, Chicago, they have a great defense. They're going to build around him. No, no, no. I'm sending him to the Raiders, man. That's right. The Raiders have, no matter what kind of team they've had, they have never been able to make it work. So that's exactly where I send Russell Wilson, to teach him a lesson. And I say, it's on your list. If that's your list, you want to go, okay, we're going there. Derek Carr, 3 first-round picks, we're done. Right, we're done. There's the deal. And the Raiders say yes.
I like the way you did that.
It's easy. It's easy.
So Russell Wilson will coach in the fourth quarters. Mm-hmm. And he gets to coach up the defense for John Gruden. Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, exactly. He's going to be the play caller on offense and defense. So that's how it's going to work.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Do you know, I can't wait to get
problems.
This.
That's really what I'm looking at.
This Russell Wilson guy, he's not going to like it when I tell him I call the plays and I'm going to say, we're going to run the football in the fourth quarter. But boy, it's going to be fun theater in Vegas. That's going to be really something. But I love this Russell Wilson guy. This is going to be fantastic. I mean, really, that's what I do. You want to go to Vegas? Go ahead. All right, we're going to make that. I could do the deal right now. I say Raiders, 3 first and Derek Carr. And the Raiders say, ooh. And I go, you can have him right now. Right now. And the Raiders will say, yes, we'll do it. We'll give you 3 first round picks and Derek Carr. And boom, it's done. And that's the trade. It's that simple. Look, I want to get him to the Jets. Of course I do. But really, I think the Seahawks would just be embarrassed to trade him back to the Jets, because you know it would be first-round picks that the Seahawks just gave them for Jamal Adams. So you know that's not going to happen. You understand. There's no way this is going to happen. So I'm kind of wondering.
Yeah, but for the NFL.
Yeah.
Go ahead. But go ahead.
Here's my thing. I'm building to my point here, is that I'm wondering, how adversarial is this to the point where they're not going to work together to find the right deal, right? Like, Deshaun Watson isn't even talking to the Texans, and he said, these are the teams I want to go to, and they're not even talking to him. But here's Russell Wilson. I don't think it's a coincidence that last week we find out it's going to be 3 firsts for him, and here's 4 teams, all teams with quarterbacks, all teams where you'd have to figure out the right trade coming back the other way. Right? Because Deshaun Watson can say, hey, I got the Jets and the Dolphins and the Panthers on my list. Well, okay, well, what players would go back that they would want from the Panthers that the Panthers would give up? They're not going to give up Christian McCaffrey. They're not going to want to do that. Are the Dolphins going to trade Tua Tagovailoa and draft picks? And this is just, okay, we got to find a way to make that work. All of these trades, you can find a way to make work. And I don't think that's a coincidence. So there's part of me that would sit back here and say, I wonder if they're apart but working together. Listen, this is how it's going to end. This is what's out there. Because all of these teams could wind up being teams that you could see a trade done pretty easy between going into next season. All right, the Bears would be the tough one because they wouldn't have a quarterback to come back the other way, and at least not anybody would want. Sorry, buddy. But you could clearly find a way around it if you're the Bears. Hey, we have defensive players that could come. We have other things we can do. So that's the one. That's the tough one. But all the other ones are, the trades would be pretty easy, man. They'd be pretty easy. So I wonder.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
We weren't sure just what the market was going to be for J.J. Watt as he was released by the Texans a week and a half ago. But right now, according to multiple NFL sources and ESPN, there are a few teams in on J.J. Watt, including one team that's offering him something in the 1 year, $15 million a year range. Now, I want Deshaun Watson. I want Russell Wilson. If J.J. Watt, you're telling me he's got to make $15 million for next year, I'm saying thank you, we'll pass. Good luck. I hope everything works out for you, but I'm not going to pay $15 or $16 million for 1 year of a guy who's going to be a part-time player at 32. All right, now look, the guy has had a phenomenal career, but he hasn't been good in a long time. Half of it is his health. All right, he can't stay healthy. The other half is he literally does half at best of everything he used to do up until 2015. All right, you talk about the first half of his career versus the last 4 years, Mike, and everything is in half, right? He's averaged 17 sacks a year up until 2015. The last 5 years, he's averaging 5 sacks a year. All right, tackles went from 80 to 50. Even though he's not a tackle machine, but still, his tackles go down 80 to 50. Tackles for loss. Gone from 30, his average, to 15. His quarterback hits have gone from 50 a year, so he's hitting the quarterback 3 times a game, to 20 a year, where he's hitting the quarterback once a game. All right, his average value, where you look at where a player's value is according to the position they play in the National Football League, he used to lead the league in AV. All right, he was up at 20. Now his average value is 7. Right, he's just not that guy. I get getting all wrapped up in J.J. Watt and seeing highlights of him and thinking, you're going to get this guy. You're not going to get this guy. You're going to get a part-time guy who's going to try to be a pass rusher, and you're hoping that he comes in with leadership skills galore to try to help things along. But for $15 or $16 million a year, I'm sorry, that's great. If you can get that, bless you, go do it. I'm not giving it to you.
Yeah, I saw a thing with Pat McAfee earlier talking about this, said he got a text from Watt about the dollars and all of that, saying, well, it ain't coming from me and my agent, which means teams are talking about the expectations. Probably one that looked and said, 15 to 16, blank that. So that's probably they're in alignment with you would be my guess. I think what it comes down to is you got a guy that hasn't finished 3 of his last 5 seasons. And while he may be a dominant force at times, we were just talking about the salary cap restrictions that are coming for the year. Paying a part-time defensive end at that kind of rate, unless you're saying he is the last piece to a Super Bowl run, is unconscionable.
I don't get this, and I wonder how much is thrown in by his camp to try to really push this and stoke the fires here. But I wouldn't be surprised if, like, a Cleveland said, oh, hey, J.J. Watt wants to come to us. Look at us. We feel sure. We're at the big boy table now. Hey, look at us. We're rubbing elbows with the Steelers and the Chiefs. Hey, everywhere. Look at this. We've been in the kids' table for a long time. Hey, have fun, Jets. Still stay there, you suckers. Well, hey, we're at the big boy table. Yeah. Hey, let's get J.J. Watt in here. Hey, he'd be so, well, $15 million. Let's do it. Oof, man.